Hey, I'm Nancy Wilson.
Mike Campbell.
Mark Mothersbaugh from Devo.
Hey, it's Adam from Counting Crows, and I am here giving you the story behind the song.
The story behind the song is back for season four. I'm Peter Chidi of Deep Cuts Media, and this season we're diving even deeper into some of music history's most iconic tracks with the legends who made them.
What's so beautiful about it is a lot of people connect with, you gotta live your life and don't let the big man push you down. Don't have to live like a refugee, can't keep fighting for what you believe. And that was Tom.
From the spark of inspiration to untold tales from the studio, we unlock the true stories that shape the music you love.
At the time on the radio, there was a really cool riff by Nazareth covering a Joni Mitchell song, This Flight Tonight. It had the same groove, but I think Barracuda kind of blew it out of the water.
Join us as we all sit down with music icons like Devo, Heart, Mike Campbell of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Sublime, Counting Crows, and so many more. New episodes are out now from the Consequence Podcast Network, so tune in wherever you get your podcasts and join me for the story behind the song.
To find out what's really going on behind the music, sometimes you have to dig deep. I'm Dr. Mike, and on the new season of Going There, we're doing just that.
Art or music can be your escape and your therapy.
Going There is the podcast at the crossroads of music and mental health, where we have raw, meaningful conversations with artists like Noah Kahan, Julian Baker, Jason Isbell, Youngblood, The Head and the Heart, and Bishop Briggs.
I recently heard someone describe grief as glitter, where you'll clean it up, and then you'll find little pieces.
By opening ourselves up to these real discussions about mental health, we can foster understanding and gain even greater appreciation for the music we all love.
For me, like, my favorite songs give me happy tears.
So join me and some of your favorite artists on the new season of Going There with Dr. Mike, brought to you by SoundMind Live and the Consequence Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's an audio interview series presented by WFPK Independent Louisville, Consequence of Sound, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Speaking of all that, become a subscriber today. If you're listening to the podcast, head over to iTunes, Podchaser, wherever you're listening from. Go ahead and hit subscribe. Maybe give us a rating or review. That does a long way. If you're listening on YouTube, you can also become a subscriber over there. Keep up with your favorite artists and interviews. Today, my guest is Dewey Bunnell of the band America. The band America. They're about to celebrate their 50th anniversary in just a couple years. We got to talk about the band's work with George Martin and the Beatles. We got to talk a lot about politics, because when you got a name like America, in times like these, maybe that's going to come up. In fact, the band is going to play Israel, so there's a bit of that conversation as well. Their work with Jim James and My Morning Jacket, they covered them, got Jim to play on one of their albums recently, as well as their very interesting history with the Jacksons, especially Michael Jackson and Janet Jackson. And, of course, there's a question of, will there be new music from America, especially with that 50th anniversary coming up? It's Kyle Meredith with the band America.
Hello, Kyle. This is Dewey Bunnell with America Band.
How are you, Dewey?
I'm good.
Well, I should say, first off, it's a really a big pleasure to talk to you. One of the greatest bands of all time. I thank you for giving the call today.
Well, thank you, Kyle. It's a pleasure.
Yeah. Let's start, because we're going to be seeing you here in town for Abbey Road on the River, the big Beatles tributes. And I feel like that's a good place to start, because you all have quite the ties to the old Fab Four. Especially having had George Martin produce seven records, was that it?
Seven albums total, yeah, including the greatest hits, and he remixed some of the stuff that he wasn't part of in the very beginning. He came on board on the fourth album, which was called Holiday, and that was Richard Tin Man and Lonely People. But we just had a wonderful relationship with George. Terrific good fortune to have come together in 1974 with him. You know, we just hit it off because the band had started in England. Some of your listeners will know that. And Jerry and I have British mothers. I was born in England. So we had a British kind of sensibility that we hit it off, the humor and whatnot. But musically and creatively, he was just a wonderful guide there at that time in our career. And the projects were great fun. We recorded in all kinds of different places. He liked to travel a bit. We worked in Denver and in London, of course, and down in Montserrat and in the Caribbean at his studio down there, San Francisco, L.A., Hawaii. We made an album on the island of Kauai, which was quite an ambitious project because we had to barge all the equipment over there and virtually set up a studio in a rented house there. But, yeah, wonderful man.
And there must have been, you know, some, I don't know, was there some feeling of the weight? I mean, this is a guy that's responsible for one of the, obviously, one of the biggest rock bands to kind of reignite rock anyway, a decade earlier. Was that felt when you started with him?
Yeah, I mean, it was in the sort of elephant in the room at any given time. But, you know, that wore off. In the beginning, of course, we were just, you know, on eggshells, wanting to make sure that we were well rehearsed and the songs were all intact. That first album, we recorded really rapidly. I think it was 16 days or something. We just powered through because we were so prepared. He did want us to come to London to do that holiday album. So, but, you know, it's sort of that kind of faded into the background, the Beatle thing. I mean, we had a fun time with it at Air Studios on that first album because there was the Beatles that worked in there or had, they brought a bunch of their equipment and things over that George had used at Abbey Road and things. So we'd go, hey, here's the bell that they used on Yellow Submarine. Let's put that on a song. You know, various things like that. But
'cause why wouldn't you? Yeah.
Yeah, why not? Right. So, yeah. We didn't really grill him on stuff. I mean, lots of other artists have worked with George, and everybody has their same stories about getting around to ask him some question about something or another about the Beatles. And I think we were young and kind of just felt like this is right. Everything seemed to be clicking, and we didn't really, you know, we just followed our noses a little. And George had the reins, held the reins on the project, and he was very good that way. He'd work in the studio with us. He actually played some piano on a few things, and It was a fun project. And, of course, Jeff Emmerich was his right-hand man there, and we're going to have Jeff at the Abbey Road on the river.
Yeah, right? In fact, he's going to be stopping in our studios here in just a little bit. So, yeah, he's going to be around.
Say hi for me. We love Jeff, too. He was such an integral part of our stuff and the Beatles stuff, needless to say.
There's a couple local connections I should bring up here, too. Do I have a right? Hank Linderman?
Hank Linderman, yes.
That's right. He's running for an office in Owensboro, just down the state.
Yeah, it's very exciting. I mean, you know, he just decided to put his money where his mouth was, and he's going to run for Congress. And lo and behold, out of the four candidates in the primary, I guess it was 2 days ago now, he won.
Yeah.
So he will be going up against the incumbent in November for that seat. So we're very excited for Hank. He's very committed and a passionate guy when it comes to that subject, politics and people. Yeah, it's amazing that he's transferred, and he's a terrific artist himself, great player. He's actually been in our band. He played guitar for us on several occasions when we needed him, and he co-produced some projects with us, an album called Hourglass that we recorded in Omaha, Nebraska. We stayed out on a farm and worked at, it was an American Gramophone Records. It's a long story, but Hank was out living with us for that several weeks when we made that record, so we stay in touch.
Yeah.
He's one of our gang.
Well, I'm all for having more musician and art types in the office as much as we can get them, so... Good
yeah,
on him.
Why not? Yeah, he wants to take the punches, which I don't know how he can do that. Politics is a bloody game. But,
yeah.
You know.
Well, I'm sure I'm not the first person to ask this, but, you know, it seems like you can pinpoint any time as being highly political in some way, but to have a name like America in highly political times, does that come back at you all? Has that come back at you all through the years in certain points for that reason?
You know, remarkably not. The name has really been secondary all this time. I thought in the beginning when we were younger and started, wow, this is going to be a bit of a powder keg. But, you know, we've had our concerns when we play foreign dates and things, depending on what the political climate is at any given time. We've been together long enough, like I was saying, early 48 years, we're in our 48th year, to have gone through a lot of different periods in the history of ourselves and the country. So certain eras were a little more touchy than others, I suppose, but we've never had any protests or weird things, and we keep expecting them sometimes, you know, during conflicts around the world and where our country is involved in a you know, an edgy way, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
But it hasn't happened, and we're actually going to Israel for the very first time. It's been one of these offers we've had for years, and we're going to go this year. We actually had to cancel one other time when we committed because of turmoil there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always a little looking over your shoulder on certain dates. But to answer your question, it was never. I always thought that maybe the name's copywritten or something. Of course, it's not. America is just a pretty generic word.
Yeah, you can verb it, you know, if you need to. It's one of those words.
Yeah, I know. But like I say, I've always said that names, they catch your attention in the beginning. They're a great way to grab, you know, what? America? That's some band. But after that, you're on your own, dude. It's the music and the whatever you're putting behind that name. I mean, like, first time I ever heard the name Pink Floyd, I thought, what a lame name. But, you know, now it's powerful. The music behind Pink Floyd is what really comes to mind, of course.
Israel, while we're on that, I mean, that's I don't know all the details of that, but that's the one where artists are, it's a sort of an argument in the music community, right, to play Israel or not?
Well, it's been, yeah, I suppose it is. I mean, we played a very controversial tour in South Africa when apartheid was still raging down there, and we got a lot of backlash for that, and we were put on a UN, you know, list and things. At the time, I was pretty naive about it all, and we ended up doing some benefits for schools down there in Johannesburg and played Durban and Cape Town. That was the first and most intense time that our band playing somewhere that set off bells, you know, warning buzzers, hey, what are you doing that for? And again, we're bringing our music to people. Hopefully, we made sure there was access with the communities down there that otherwise wouldn't have had access, and we tried to do it the right way. We certainly weren't going there for some big payday, but it was a nice tour. I'm glad we did it in the end, but, you know, we were second-guessing ourselves the whole time. It's a one show in Israel that's part of a tour. We're playing in Italy and Holland and England, so we'll just see, and that's, you know, we can't judge until we see what we're doing. I have no doubt it's going to be fine, and we're going to do what we do, and hopefully that people enjoy our music, and that's what we're there for.
Yeah, it's just so interesting when, you know, at the base of everything, all you want to do is play a song for someone, and that's it, and then everything else gets in the way.
And we don't politicize our name. We never have. We made it that, even at our young age of 19 and 20 when we started, we said we made it a definite rule. We're not going to put Stars and Stripes and Burgers and Cadillacs and do the whole, you know, sticky America thing on our on this thing that we're doing. It's about the music, and it's about giving people an hour and a half or out of their already intensely pressured lives. You know, we're entertainers at the end of the day, and if people need that time and they're interested and they come and see our show and we all have a good time, then we've done what we feel we're supposed to be doing. So we don't really preach or anything or do any of that on stage. We obviously have our own, you know, passionate positions on issues and all of the above. We all do in our culture, and the music is what we're up there to do.
As you mentioned, 48 years. You're coming up on that 50th anniversary. Are you all working on the plans? Is it going to be a big celebration?
We actually are. It's so bizarre. I mean, I know it's early, but the 50th is going to be a big milestone, and we're actually in the process of amassing all these old demos and photographs and video clips and TV shows and trying to put it all in front of us and look at this and put together a special box or DVDs. I mean, there's home movies, there's, you know, you can imagine it's the mm-hmm. same thing with anybody who's been around that long. You put together a retrospective and see your life go by here.
I mean, having met in high school, that's a long time to be involved with anyone. I mean,
yeah,
you know, you've gone through a dozen marriages for some folks in 50 years.
Fortunately, I'm only on my second. But yes, it's been, you know, it really the last 20-odd years, it seems like it's just really raced by, and we've been really nose to the grindstone. The live show is really our bread and butter, and we really love the show, and we've got great guys in the band. We've incorporated video into the show, and got a couple of new young players in the band, which has been a great thing. some 30-somethings, mm-hmm. Ryland Steen and Andy Barr Ryland on drums and Andy on guitar and keyboard. So that leaves Jerry and I and Rich Campbell on bass. Rich has been with us for 15, 16 years now, but it's a five-piece. But they're not really familiar with the younger guys anyway, with our deep past. But it, as we bring it out now, going raking through the coals of all of our past projects and tours and things, it's fun to look at and be reminded. There's a lot of projects that were not nearly as familiar as some of the hits from the 70s, of course, but we're going to cherry pick stuff and
cool.
do what we got and yeah. put something out by 2020.
Well, the other local connections, by the way, jumping back to a record a few years ago, about a decade ago with Here and Now, you covered My Morning Jacket with their song Golden. Did you did you work with Jim James specifically on that or just tackle
Jim
the song?
James, he actually played on it and we weren't there. I wasn't.
Oh, no.
I don't think Jerry was either. We did that project in New York with Adam Schlesinger, who was one of the founding members of this band, Fountains of Wayne, mm-hmm. who, by the way, are terrific. Mm-hmm. Great songwriters and their albums are just wonderful. But we got involved with Adam and James Eha from Smashing Pumpkins. It was kind of a generation younger than us, and we were, Adam was very into producing us, and we'd written some songs, and we did one of his songs, and he's the one who brought in some other people. We had Ryan Adams on it, and I co-wrote a song with Ryan, which was neat. I'd never met him, wasn't that familiar with him. The My Morning Jacket track, I wasn't that familiar with them, and have subsequently become more familiar. But so Jim, we picked that song. Actually, I think Adam picked it. He thought it was something I could sing, and he got Jim in to play acoustic on the track. It's a little fuzzy. I'm trying to remember how that works. But we were, because I think we were having to come back and forth into New York while we did some shows. It was kind of a piecemeal thing with each track. Mm-hmm. But it was. It's always fun to do some other writers' things. You know, traditionally we've written all of our own material. We like to think that's what we do. We're singer-songwriters first and foremost. But we did another album of just covers called Back Pages. Mm-hmm. And that was fun, where we cherry-picked songs from our youth. You know, Simon and Garfunkel song, a James Taylor song, a Bob Dylan song, a Joni Mitchell song. And really enjoyed making that project.
Well, I mean, to do those and have so many people have covered and sampled you over the years. I was just listening to the Janet Jackson sample of Ventura Highway the other day, remembering how much fun that was. And then I hadn't realized that a few years ago they had released, I guess Michael Jackson had done Place With No Name.
Yeah, that was another interesting chapter. We'd heard that song in a sort of a demo form with Michael singing it. We never met him, rest in peace. We never had, we've got this strange connection with the Jacksons, you know, Janet and Michael that way. There was another song that sort of hearkened or mirrored Daisy Jane, a song of ours, a Jerry song, mm-hmm. that was ended up being kind of a co-write thing with Janet also. But the Michael Jackson thing was very interesting because I thought it was just kind of a novelty thing. It's basically Horse With No Name's melody, and Michael had written his own lyrics to it and a different chorus and so on. But it's pretty much Horse. And we thought, wow, this is a novelty thing. And it didn't resurface. We heard it 4 or 5 years before he passed, and it resurfaced after his death when they were going through all of his files and, you know, putting together some things. So it was interesting to come back out, and the lyric was kind of poignant at that time. Take me to a place without no name. It's amazing the grammar that I have inspired. Ain't no one for to give you no pain. But the lyrics in Place With No Name are pretty kind of eerie, because it's coming on the heels of his death when mm-hmm. it came out. Mm-hmm. It's worth a listen just for that perspective.
It's incredible stuff. It's fun to find that stuff too. Are there plans for a new record? I mean, I know you've kind of got your mind on the back catalog with the 50th, but now with Lost and Found being a couple years in the rear view.
Yeah, there may be a Lost and Found too, because that was a matter of going through files too, pre-50th anniversary. But we found a bunch of what were basically, you know, the sort of 11th song on a 10-song record, the one that just didn't make mm-hmm. the cut. Mm-hmm. And in listening back to a lot of those songs, we thought, well, these are still nice. But to answer your question, we're not really recording that. The recording business has changed so much. And we're, you know, for me in particular, without a record deal, and you got a 7-album deal, and you're going to record an album every year for the next 7 years. You know, that was the kind of impetus I needed. I needed that kind of pressure to write. I certainly strum a little, and I keep a notebook of lyrical ideas, but they're just kind of sitting around. Basically, the live show is what's really takes up our time. Right. And Jerry's put out a couple of solo projects. He's more keen and has always had his own home studio. So, you know, there will probably be another disc, yes, and there will probably be something, some new stuff in conjunction with the 50th to go along with the retrospective, but nothing that I can, you know, pin down for you right now.
I'll be looking forward to the 50th stuff anyway. Again, we are so excited to have you in town for the Abbey Road on the River. I know a lot of people are really looking forward to having you guys back here in Louisville.
So. Well, we're looking forward to it ourselves. So we'll that's tomorrow, actually.
It's tomorrow, yep.
So we're ready to rock. We're just up in Ohio right now. We got a show tonight. But we're looking forward to it, too.
All right.
Louisville. Hank Linderman country.
That's right. All right, Dewey, thank you so much for giving me the call again today and for this chat. It was a whole lot of fun. Really an honor, too.
Likewise. I appreciate it.
All right, take care, man.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Thanks so much to Dewey Bunnell for giving me the call to talk about America's past, present, and future. Hey, don't forget, you can subscribe to Consequence of Sound's YouTube channel to keep up with your favorite artists and interviews. For you podcast fans, head over to iTunes or Podchaser. Give us a rating or review. It'd be a big help. Really do appreciate it. And then you can head over to WFPK.org. That's where you can hear me do a show every Monday through Thursday from noon to 3 Eastern. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.